What's up, everybody? My name is Matt, and this is the Nintendo Fever Podcast, episode number 83. Am I right, Holly? Is it 83?
Something 84. Like
that? 84, my goodness. We have so many episodes now that literally it is becoming difficult for me to keep track. I can't wait till we hit episode 100 because I'm just very excited for that. But enough of me just rambling on and on. Let's go ahead and introduce our wonderful hosts for this episode. We got, of course, as always, my wonderful co-host who just celebrated a birthday. And I know I've already said happy birthday to you on every social media network possible. But I want to go ahead and say it again here on the podcast. Happy birthday. Holly, how are you doing this week?
I'm doing great. It was a really, really good Thanksgiving week. I took work off completely and just enjoyed myself so that I could have a nice week, and then it culminated in my birthday, so I'm just doing fantastic. You know, not exactly looking forward to a new week of going back to work, but, you know, it was a great week, so can't complain.
Well, that's awesome. I'm glad everything seems to be really going good for you for the weekend and stuff, and we're going to be talking about, hopefully, some cool stuff that maybe you got for your birthday. I don't know, or if nothing else, we'll talk about the video games that you played during your birthday.
We'll see.
But we also have another guest host for this episode as well. His name is Nick Fulham. How are you doing, Nick?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good today.
Now, your dad, I don't know about Holly necessarily where she knows him from, but now I know your dad through the different Nintendo channels on like Facebook and off of, I think Twitter, he's talked to me on there as well. So like I've talked to your father a little bit. what are you doing on the podcast today?
What am I doing? I'm just here. I just want to join you guys and talk about, you know, all the Nintendo things, especially with Pokemon that just came out around the corner. It's something that, you know, I was looking forward to talk about.
Well, I am looking forward to talking about Pokemon as well. And I'm so much, in fact, looking forward to talking about Pokemon. We're actually going to get rid of a segment today because we're kind of running under a small time crunch. Not terribly, but a little bit. So we're going to get rid of the Who's That Pokemon segment for today. But Holly does want you to know who the Pokemon was from not last week, but 2 weeks ago. And who was that Pokemon, Holly?
It was Lovedisc, the incredibly uninspired Lovedisc. So
that name sounds super inspired, though. I'm just gonna say,
oh,
like, that got me excited all of a sudden. I was like, man, this Pokemon must
Pokemon?
Have been, oh man, I just looked him up. He's terrible. He's nothing. he's not even a disc.
Well, it's just a little hard scale.
I feel like it's a lie. I was expecting something completely different, but at the same time, it makes sense.
Fits the Pokemon, which is part of why it's such a sad design.
Yeah, you get what you get.
Yeah.
That's about all it is. Now, as I said 2 weeks ago, because we did not have a podcast last week, luckily, though, I want to give a big, big, big shout out to Mike Miscurdy. I never say his last name correctly. McSurdy. Him and Lucas and Gentis as well. He's somebody that's on Twitter that we talk to every once in a while. They got together and they actually did a really cool podcast all about the new Pokemon Sun and Moon. Go and check out that podcast. It's kind of a nice little like one-off type special type thing, but it was cool to have something in place of us. Yes, they are probably going to do it regardless of the fact that we weren't available, but it was nice to have something there because we weren't here as well. But really, really big shout out and a thank you to those guys for being able to be available to make a podcast like that. We really appreciate it. But
yeah.
We, meaning me, Holly, and Nick, we're going to jump into our recent swag. It was your birthday, Holly, so I'm going to go ahead and throw it over to you first and see if you got anything exciting for your birthday.
I did. I got something really exciting that I have been playing. It's a game that I really, really want to talk to you about, Matt.
Oh my
I got
goodness, I'm
Kirby
scared.
Planet Robobot.
Oh,
it's so good.
So good.
So good. I love it.
Like, oh, man, I'm excited to hear about this.
The demo was fun, but the game has actually exceeded my expectations, which is saying something. But anyway, I got that for my birthday. I got a Ryu amiibo for my birthday.
Oh, cool. He's a really good one, is he not?
He
I really
is.
Like the detail on his gi, you know, the outfit that he wears, you know, and just his facial features. Like
his
he
face looks
very
great.
Yeah, he looks super reminiscent of Street Fighter II, which is I know where they pulled a lot of his design from, but he's one of the best looking amiibo by far.
Oh, for sure. Yeah,
oh, definitely.
He's amazing. So yeah, Ryu amiibo, Isabelle amiibo from Animal Crossing is another one that I got. I'm not sure, like, it's the standalone one that doesn't come with Amiibo Festival.
Oh, wow.
I think it's like the winter outfit one or something like that. Whatever, you know, whatever one stands alone. There might be a summer outfit one that stands alone too. I don't know. But got Isabel. And finally, this was actually, I would have mentioned this last episode if we had had, or, you know, this past week if we had had an episode. But of course, I also got Pokemon Sun physically.
Ooh.
So we'll be talking about that and what we've been playing too. So,
so
good
excited.
Stuff ahead. Yeah.
So excited.
So Pokemon was not for my birthday. The other things were. So my mom kind of spoiled me with that.
Sounds like you had a really fun, exciting. Now I know you don't want to say how old you are, and that's, or if you do or don't, it's up to you. But I just want to say
don't
that
care
like
too much.
I've recently hit the age that I feel personally that I can't really get video game type stuff for my birthday anymore. It's really weird because all I want my wife and even my children to get me would be like video game related stuff. But like, it seems really odd if I'm like, hey, I love you. You want to give me that new Pokemon game for my birthday? Wife?
I mean you're never too
Nintendo
old.
Figures.
You're never too
you
old.
Are...
My...
Well, usually I settle with like trying to convince them to get me a Nintendo eShop card. Even right now, my daughter is actually cleaning her room, which is right next to our computer. I know this is like a really bad tangent. I apologize. But she's like,
it's okay.
She's really embarrassed and smiling right now as I'm talking into a microphone all about Pokemon in very soon. So that's where
little
that's
Nintendo
where...
toys called Amiibo. Yay!
Exactly. But yeah, so I want birthday video game stuff, but sadly I don't always get it anymore. Now I just spend my own money that I like make. You know what I mean?
It's kind of back and forth for me. Last year my mom just got me some clothing, so.
Well, pulled through this year, mom. But Nick, I want to move over to, I don't know how familiar you are or are not with the podcast. This is where you lie and you say you listen to every episode every week.
Every day. I listen to it every day.
Awesome. I like that you re-listen to our episodes. I appreciate that. You know, with 365 days in a year, you're going to rehear a lot of the same stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But if you got anything physical that is exciting or something that you recently picked up, such as, I don't know how you got Pokemon, for instance. If there's something recent swag-oriented that you'd like to share, right now would be the best time to do it.
Yeah, definitely. So I did get Pokemon. I actually work at GameStop, so I went to the midnight release of Pokemon Sun and Moon. I picked up Moon. I personally wanted Moon just because of the cute little bat that's on the front. But while I got the Moon, I also got the little Pokemon Legendary pin that I got, the Lulana or something like that. I can't remember the actual bat's name. It came with the pre-order. Lunala, thank you. And then I also got the actual physical Z-ring that you see in the Pokemon game.
What? Ooh, nice.
Yeah. What is that thing? Can someone explain it? I saw if you get
just
the physical
a flashy
game,
thing.
It comes with a manual, and on the manual it has a picture of this Z-ring. What is that? Is that like something that matters? Like
In game, it matters because you know with Z-moves, it's just a really powerful move that you can use once per battle. Outside of game, it's just a really fancy bracelet that lights up when you use the Z move in game. It vibrates, it lights up, it matches, hooks up to your DS. Like, you don't need to connect it or anything, it just automatically does it. And it flashes and stuff like that. I posted a couple videos of it, and
it's
just...
I remember that. It actually looks really cool.
Yeah, it's really nice if you wanted to do anything, like, cosplay-wise with it.
Ooh, yeah. Didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Look forward to doing that in the future.
Now, did you say that did cost extra, or it came with your...
No, it did cost extra. It's a separate
is
thing.
It a... Now, do you know if it... Is it just a... what's it called? Something you get at GameStop?
No, I believe Toys R Us has it as well. I'm pretty sure just about, you know, anywhere would have it. I'm pretty sure Walmart, Toys R Us, GameStop had it. I saw it. I didn't pre-order it myself. They said, oh, yeah, you know, here it is. And I'm like, I have to have that. So I traded in my copy of... So it was a Hyrule Warriors for the DS, and I just said, yeah, just let me have it. And
Gentis is going to kill you for that one. we have a listener who adores Hyrule Warriors.
Oh, no, don't get me wrong. I love it. I already have it on the Wii U. That's why I traded it in.
Ah. Yeah. Okay, that makes some sense.
And then the last swag I did get this week, which is the one I'm actually most excited about, was I collect figures. So I got this little Majora's Mask Link Nendroid. It's really cool. It's bendable, posable. You can change masks, change the expression of the face and stuff like that. And it's good for like taking photos or just collecting purposes wise.
Yeah. So I'm curious as to whether you were able to, because you work at GameStop, were you able to get an NES Classic Edition?
No, you know what? Let me tell you. So we didn't allow pre-orders for the NES Classic. So right. It was kind of first come, first serve. So what I was told when it happened was, you know, they had the line. It was sold out in the first 5 minutes. 80 copies.
Well, you had 80 at your GameStop?
I think it was 80, unless I'm just thinking of the price. But I can tell you whatever we had in quantity was gone in the first 5 minutes. I'm going to say probably only 30.
That's what happened at my closest GameStop, too. But I was, they had 11 in stock. I think I'm pretty sure one of those GameStop employees managed to get one, which is why they didn't have, the even 12 number in stock. So I'm pretty sure she took one. But I was 7th in line outside my GameStop, and so I was luckily able to get one. So yeah, we'll be talking about our kind of bitter, or maybe not so bitter thoughts a little later in the podcast.
Yes, mm-hmm. For sure. And then... moving on to my recent swag, I'm excited to announce for the first time since Generation 2 of Pokemon back for Silver and Gold, I have finally bought and am playing a brand new Pokemon game.
Yippee!
I as well got Pokemon Moon. It was funny because I didn't know which one I was going to get, and I had the guy that I was buying it from put both copies behind his hand, and then I picked either his left hand or his right hand.
Oh, yeah.
But I was going to get Moon anyway, so I was lucky enough that I picked Moon anyway, so it didn't really matter. I got so excited, when I was about to buy this game, I was like, I don't know which one to get. Do I get one? Do I only get one of them? What do I do here? And I did only get the Moon copy. I am actually playing it. That's really it for recent swag for me. It's because, sadly, there was another new game that just came out called Dragon Ball Fusions. I really wanted this game. I called all my local GameStops, and they all had one copy on Saturday, and I thought I was going to make it down in time, and when I showed up to the place I was going to buy it, they sold out of the game that day. So now I don't know how I'm going to get a physical copy unless I order it online, which is fine, but it turns out Walmart might be getting them later in December. So I'm trying to figure out my best strategy to get this game, because I desperately want to buy this game. Desperately.
Why is it so rare? Is it a new game or what?
It's new. I'm shocked that it's sold out because these kind of niche-oriented anime-style games don't usually sell out. I hope this is a good indication that it's selling well, because I want this game to sell well, because I want more games like this to either come to, you know, the future iteration of the 3DS or the Switch in the future, whatever the case may be, because I'm a diehard Dragon Ball Z fan, and this is a RPG-style Dragon Ball game where you get to create a character, and it just looks really, really awesome. So I was super sad that I did not get this game day of, but hopefully I will be getting it when either Walmart gets a shipment or I just order it off eBay or something like that. But yeah, when it comes to recent swag, all I got this last 2 weeks was just Pokemon Moon. That was it.
That's all you need this week.
Well, that's good. Yeah.
That is. Especially considering how long it's been since I've bought a Pokemon game. But enough talking about the games that we bought. I want to quickly mention a couple of games that came out that I thought were kind of at least moderately important on the Wii U and 3DS eShop. On the Wii U eShop, I just wanted to mention that a game called Citadel came out. It's a 2D-style action RPG-esque type game in the vein of Castlevania, but the Game Boy Advance and the DS-style Castlevania games. It looks really cool. I think I'm going to buy this game. I at least want to buy this game. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to fit it in at the moment with trying to play Pokemon. I don't have a ton of time to play video games, so I try to focus my energy on a video game at a time. So I'll see if I remember this in a week or two when I'm kind of through with Pokemon, hopefully. Majora's Mask also finally came out to the Wii U Virtual Console. I know a lot of people are excited about that. Obviously, 3DS retail download was Dragon Ball Fusions, and then the new Nintendo 3DS Virtual Console also got a game called Breath of Fire 2, which is a very a lot of people like this game a lot. It's an old school RPG, and it's well loved and well reviewed and stuff like that. But those were a couple of games that came out that I just wanted to briefly talk about. Unless there's anything that came out that either one of you would like to talk about.
Not that I can think of.
No, not again. I think you got it.
Breath of the, I mean, have either one of you played any of the Breath of the Fire games? I think there's only two, right, on the Super Nintendo?
I think so. I've heard about it. I heard about it when I was younger. My uncle was actually kind of the guy who was the RPG guy, and that's where I got my love for RPGs, and Breath of Fire was definitely one I've always, you know, watched him play, or I've, you know, wanted to play. So now that it's back on the DS, I actually just want to get my hands on this and see what it's like.
I wish the DS Super Nintendo games weren't... Aren't they $10? I feel like that's the correct price that they sell them on the 3DS, right? Was $10?
The Breath of Fire 2 is actually only $7.99 right now.
So even
$8? I think all Super Nintendo games are. But that's still quite a bit, yeah.
See,
yeah,
and I, so much. I feel like it is, and I hate to say that because like these are very... They're well-respected games. They're going to offer plenty of time to actually sit and play probably 40 hours plus, I would imagine. Mm-hmm. And it is weird to say that, but I really do feel like $8 is asking a lot for us to be spending on a virtual console, you know, a digital copy of these Super Nintendo games. Mm-hmm. And I feel the same way about Nintendo games, too, like just NES games. I feel like $5 is too much money to be spending on some of these games. I mean, yes, they're classics. Yes, they offer all these... amazing, you know, memories and blah blah blah, but I still feel like the price point for their virtual console games is just too expensive for me personally.
It's also weird, just the NES Classic just came out and it's just kind of like the way to experience these 30 NES games that are on it. It's kind of the way to experience them right now, especially since they're higher quality compared to like the Wii U Virtual Console. $60. I mean, 30 NES games, buying those games on your Wii U, and in this case, you don't even get any hardware or a controller or anything like that, like you do with the NES Classic. That would cost a lot more than $60. I mean, my math skills aren't all that great right now.
At $5
a piece,
you're looking at $100 and almost $20, I feel, because you're looking at 30 games, right? So 20 times 5 is $100, and then the extra 10 would be, so $110, $120, something like that.
Yeah,
for the same thing that you're getting for spending $60 on the NES Classic. And I feel like Nintendo sadly does that to themselves a lot, where they don't understand the value of price and then the value of like ability, all those kinds of different factors. And then sadly, like our cell phones, in my opinion, do play a factor into it. I mean, when you can get high quality games for $2 to $3 that are brand new on a cell phone, but then you're spending $8 on a, you know, regardless of the quality, but just still an older game, it just kind of hurts that in a way. It's hard to fully. I think even I sound like I'm almost talking out of my butt when I say things like this, because it sounds like, well, I mean, quality over quantity and blah blah blah. But at the same time, I feel like $8 just seems pricey, regardless of how good the experience is, and that's weird to say. I know it is, but still.
Not weird to me. I mean, they're old games. I mean, how many resources basically go into, like, you know, on Nintendo side, how many resources go into re-releasing these old games? Because it's charging through the nose for these kind of...
I would love to know that. Like, we all know from the Wii Virtual Console, which was kind of crap, just in the not in the quality of games that came out, but like the actual emulation of what the Wii did, and the fact there was no save states, there was nothing extra being allowed with the actual porting of the game that you were purchasing. And then with the Wii U, obviously you did get save states, and with the 3DS, obviously you do get save states. So it is kind of like, how much extra work has gone into these games to make them so that they're able to bring them to the Wii U or to the Nintendo 3DS? I don't know. Nick, what's your opinion on this? I know we kind of went from, you know, we're kind of going a weird loop, but just to kind of grab your thoughts real quick about like the price and stuff.
As far as the price goes, there are some games where I can see it as, you know, adjustable, but there are like you said, you know, with the whole like NES being, you know, $60 and $30, you know, you're spending over $120, it does seem a little ludicrous. There are some games where I think what Nintendo does is like, oh yeah, everyone enjoys this game so much. It's highly rated. You know, let's see, you know, from the business side, I see, oh, maybe we can get, you know, a bang for a buck here. As far as some games where I'm actually surprised to see, you know, some really good games that I enjoyed, maybe it's just my opinion, you know, to be so low as far as $2 compared to like some games being like, for example, Majora's Mask being $10. But I completely agreed. You took the words right out of my mouth, where it just kind of seems a little too overpriced, especially back when it was on the Wii, where the Wii emulation was, you know, not, you know, less than stellar. But with the Wii U and the new save features and stuff like that, where you can just save at a certain point, I still don't see much of a justification for the price, but I just will go ahead and end and say that I do agree, and the prices are kind of a little too steep for my taste.
And I know me and Holly have kind of talked about this before with the virtual console and things that we'd like to see, like Club Nintendo or My Nintendo Rewards and all that stuff, kind of tackle these kinds of things in particular. We feel like the best way to give, at least I do, the best way to give some of these retro experiences to fans is by rewarding them with these types of retro experiences. I feel like that's a very, that's a proper and good way to use these type of experiences personally. You know, a Wii game on the Wii U Virtual Console, you know, you're talking about an emulated game for a, you know, regardless of the classic nature of it, $20 is a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
To buy Super Mario Galaxy, and like, I love Super Mario Galaxy, don't get me wrong, but I've literally bought that game 4 or 5 times for 50 cents at a youth ranch. You know, like, some of these games, it's crazy the price that they're wanting you to ask for, but then you get really good deals, like when Metroid Trilogy came to the virtual console for the first time, I had to buy that for $10. I had to, because I was never going to spend $100 to try and find it, you know, from eBay and
physically
stuff.
Yeah,
so like, it's crazy in that respect.
I mean, but like, in that standard, you're getting 3 games for, if you know, you do the math, it's somewhere what, $3.50 or stuff like that. So that's easily, like, I can see why $10 would be justified there. But, you know, as far as like where Majora's Mask is, I can, you know, personally, if I have a DS, you know, obviously a lot of people have DS versus the, you know, the virtual console, if they want the old version of it. The newer version for the 3DS, I'm sure you can get cheaper for $10 now, since, you know, based on when it actually came out.
Yeah, especially if you find, like, that's the thing, is like yard sales and you know, youth ranches, DIs, you know, Deseret Industries is what we call them over here. They're just basically like a thrift shop. But like, you can find good deals at games all the time. So yeah. I don't know. I we've talked about this for a very long time. Everyone kind of knows our opinions on it a little bit just from listening to the show, especially you, Nick, who I know listen all the time. But I do want to move on because I don't want to run out of time, and I want to talk about Pokemon
so very bad.
All right.
Starters, man. Let's start with the starters. And
that's a great idea.
Say who we chose. Especially, Matt, I'm curious as to who you choose because I just bred a Litten, like a brand new baby level 1 Litten, and I was thinking that if you want it, you can have it, unless you chose Litten. So who did you choose, Matt?
I prefer the fire type in every iteration I've ever gotten. So I got Charmander in the originals. I got Cyndaquil. I did not have a... So in this copy, when I saw that there was an otter, there was an owl, or there was a kitten, there's something you need to know about me. I hate cats. I'm not a fan of cats at all.
Suspense, Matt. Come on.
The only way that I was able to justify this is that the cat's on fire, so hopefully the cat is uncomfortable. So yes, I did. Yes, I did get a Litten, but it's because it was the coolest of the three. It was by far the coolest of the three.
Ooh, Nick might dispute you there a little bit. Yes. Nick, I already know who you chose.
I did not say cutest. I said
not even cutest. I'm going to say, even like with my answer, I obviously chosen grass since Gen 1. I've always been loyal and been choosing grass just because of the design of every single grass type. And I chose Owlet right at the start, no contest. Just not only for his cuteness, but just overall, just it's a cute owl, and it's really cool, and its evolved forms are even better.
He was definitely my second choice, to say, like, that otter had no chance of me ever wanting to select it personally.
Did you each get one of the
starters?
No, I got Litten as well. That's how I was able to breed one and hatch a Litten egg already.
For me,
I have not even gotten close to beating the game yet.
For me, if I wasn't so loyal to grass starters, I think I would have picked Popolino. I think that's how you pronounce it. Popino? Whatever.
Popolino.
The water dog. Popolino, thank you. Just because I was curious as to see where it would evolve into, because it's such an interesting design. Like, it's a clown dog with a little, you know, a little ruffle around its neck. Not a lot of people liked the water type. They thought it was just weird, and some people even said it was ugly.
Aww.
I wasn't a fan of it personally, like, at all. Like,
now I'm kind of wishing I went with Popplio.
When it comes to water types, obviously, like, I'm so classic when it comes to Pokemon, and I hate to say it like that because it sounded very, like, hipster-like, but I just don't know much about Pokemon besides, like, that initial 150 and then probably the first, you know, quarter half of the second gen part as well. So, like, even as I'm playing this game now, like, I it's so weird to see some of these Pokemon and not know what gen they're from, just assuming they must all be new because I don't know who they are. And then I just like try to catch all the ones that like I'm familiar with as well. It's been kind of a really interesting experience in that regard. Like, just as I'm playing it, it's surprising.
Everything is new.
Well, it surprises me how many Gen 1 Pokemon are out there, though. Like,
you know
how you can nickname your Pokemon? So I was able to catch a Caterpie, and mm-hmm. I decided I was going to name him, and I named him Gen 1. So he's been evolving, so now he's finally a Butterfree. So I have a Butterfree that I named Gen 1, and I just think that's the coolest thing ever, personally. But it's just so weird how many Gen 1 Pokemon I've found. You know, I found a Slowpoke. I found a Meowth. I found a, who were some of the other ones? Oh, a Magnite. You know, all these obviously.
I have seen Magnemite. So the Meowth was like the Alolan form of Meowth, right?
Okay. Yes, exactly. I do kind of give it points for the other side. But it's just surprising now that there's like, isn't there 700 Pokemon?
There's 800, I believe.
800? Why am I still seeing? I like it, though, personally. I want to make that clear. Like, it makes me feel way more comfortable with this game. To see Pokemon that I personally am familiar with makes me feel, like, way more comfortable with this. I like that a lot.
And I think that's what the kind of the goal was with, and I can say this about any of them, what I see that Pokemon does early with the game in the beginning is they throw some Pokemon that you're familiar with from older games, depending on where you're coming from. So, for example, I think that, first of all, the Kanto region, which is the first generation, has a big inspiration on this game in the story. But going off story-wise, or the whole Alolan form-wise, I mean,
idea, too, by the way.
It's a remix and a familiar, formula and stuff like that. But I think personally, with the way they balanced out what Pokemon from what gen comes in what areas, I think it just brings old and new fans together alike and just kind of like, mix. It'd be like, oh, cool, this is a new Pokemon I haven't seen before. And oh, this one's familiar to me. And I think that's just the best experience to have while playing this game.
Yeah, it kind of started with Gen 6, actually. Like, Gen 5 was a huge departure in terms of, what Pokemon you see. Because the first Gen 5 games that came out did not include, until you beat the game and got into post-game, that game did not introduce you to Pokemon from previous generations. So until you beat the game, all you were seeing was Gen 5. So it was all brand new if you were playing those games back in the day. Gen 6 turned that completely around. And with Gen 6, right from the start, you were seeing all sorts of different generations of Pokemon right from the start of the game. And then I feel like Gen 7 has kind of continued that. And I think that is fantastic. My brother actually kind of burned out on Gen 6 really quick just because he built his party too fast. Like, he was all like, ooh, gotta add Snorlax to my party. And, he pretty much finished his party of six, his, like, quote-unquote ideal party of six, so quickly that later on in the game he was all like, oh, there's so many more new Pokemon that I would love to add to my party. And so, they're just kind of sprinkling in Pokemon from every generation right from the start. And that way you get a lot of variety going forward. And that actually kind of ties into kind of my thoughts on the whole island system in Pokemon Sun and Moon, where you go to a new island and you can expect a lot of kind of new Pokemon because you've got regional dexes now. And you've had that before, but I feel like it's never been as distinct because, these are islands and they're isolated from each other. So do we have any thoughts on the island trials or just the island setup or anything like that?
So coming from, I'll just speak real quick because I know for sure I'm not nearly as far as either one of you are, just to make it very painfully
have you,
obvious.
Have you even left the first island?
I have not left the first island. I feel like I'm very close to it,
I'm only on the
though,
second.
Because I'm about to go through the trial against whoever that one person is, and I'm pretty sure after you beat the trial, then you go to the next island, right? That's how I'm assuming it's going to play out?
Yeah, the there are different trials on each island, like a different number of trials. The final one is the grand trial.
Well,
so you beat the captain's one.
Yes. And now I'm moving on to the next one.
Right. Once you beat the kahuna of the island, then that's considered the grand trial, and you're pretty much done on that island.
Okay. So I just, like, coming from where I started from, I was shocked at how quickly the game felt like I started playing the game. A lot of times in RPGs, and I mean, I've always kind of felt this about Pokemon in general, at least from the, you know, this is like the third one that I've really, you know, actually played, but I've always felt like they've done a good job of like, all right, you're going to do this thing, and then this thing's going to happen, and then see you later. And that's kind of what I felt happened with this. It's like, hey, do you like Pokemon? How would you like a Pokemon? Now go fight Pokemon. Oh, yeah. Like, I don't know. It feels like it moved very, very quickly. I feel like within the first hour and 10 minutes, like, I was playing the game. Like, I am the one that is making choices. I'm moving in my own direction. I'm fighting, and I'm capturing Pokemon that I want to fight and capture. Like, I'm playing this game, and I'm now 4.5 hours in, and I love the fact that there's not a lot of hand holding in the game. And this, the way that the item system for me, you know, because all it is just one contained area that I've seen personally, I like that it feels like it's very open and there's a lot of stuff to do. I like that each one of the individual areas that I've gone to, you know, they have secrets to go and find extra Pokemon eggs. They have I like this whole little like camera system that you can like take pictures of Pokemon and upload them, and people give you thumbs up.
Much funner than I thought it would be.
That's what I thought too. The first thing I told my wife when I unlocked that feature was, it's been so long since I've played an RPG, I forgot how like there's just so much stuff in here, and it's all like optional. Like, you don't have to do any of this stuff, but you can do it, and it'll give you a small reward if you decide to do it. I just like how this game feels very. It opened up instantly, and I really, really like that, because I know that it's going to get to the point of grinding eventually, and as of right now, it feels like I'm going to be able to push forward through that by doing other things along with the grinding.
Right.
And so, Nick? I just want to actually touch on the whole trial thing and what I thought, my thoughts about it. What's interesting about the trials is each island is how I view it is each island is actually a full size explored gym. So previously in Pokemon games where you have to go through gyms, you have your little gym trainers that are in there. They're kind of the guys you fight before, you know, they see if you're ready to fight the gym leader, and then you fight the gym leader. In this one, you go through trials, which I think the trial captains or trial leaders are kind of these, you know, those Pokemon trainers that are in the gym to test you, see if you're ready for the Kahuna. And what they did fantastically is, not only is it more themed towards the actual game where it feels like that Hawaiian, you know, esque feel to it, where, you know, you got to complete a certain task or something like that to, you know, move on and face
it. It all feels really like cultural, like there's a real culture to this game.
Yeah. And then, you know, the cream on the top is fighting the Kahuna at the end, and that's the big guy on the island, and that's the whole, like, gym. So with them redoing the whole kind of, like, you know, gym battle system, I think it's just fantastic and how well it themed with the game.
Yeah, I was kind of worried that, like, some of the trials would kind of involve just really trivial, dumb tasks that would just feel kind of lame, I guess you could say, or shallow. But I have been totally proven wrong. I have enjoyed pretty much every minute of these games. And you're totally right. It's almost like Zelda Skyward Sword, kind of, a lot of people don't like that. It's pretty linear and things like that. But you can say one thing about it, and that is that all of the environments almost feel like giant dungeons. Like, you never even leave, you know, these dungeons, basically, kind of thing. Even when you enter a dungeon, you just feel like it's kind of an extension of the landscape and the things that you were doing there. And I feel like this is pretty much the exact same way, where you always feel like you're, you know, kind of making progress toward your ultimate goal of beating the Kahuna of that island. And it does kind of just feel like this really cool, expansive gym experience. So I love it too.
I don't know, for somebody who does not play Pokemon games and doesn't really play a whole lot of RPGs, I'll definitely say that this is, and I know it's like really cliche, I think, to say that like Pokemon games are really good for like anybody that's like interested in RPGs, but maybe has been like scared in the past to like go and get them or something. But it really has been a really exciting experience for me, for someone who hasn't played RPGs and Pokemons for such a long time. It's really scratching that itch of like going on an adventure and like buying items. And then like, it's crazy, 'cause like there's, like I said, there's a ton of content. Like there's that whole festival plaza that you go into and you talk to, like, I guess they're
players, actual players.
They're actual players, kinda. But they're not, they're not real people inside of your plaza. They're just like a avatar of that person, a representation. And then you talk to them, you can do like different little mini type things, not like mini games, but like mini things inside of this plaza. But like, once again, like kind of all optional, like, and it's so surprising just like how much content and stuff is like thrown at you from the beginning to let you just kind of like, if you want to learn more, then like go learn more. Otherwise just kind of play the game as you play it and stuff. I don't know. I'm excited, to keep on playing the game. It's been a blast thus far, I guess. But, I think that's about it that we have to say on Pokemon. Nick, anything else from you?
I just want to say that it's the most beautiful soundtrack I've ever heard in a Pokemon game before. that's my final thought on that.
Nice.
I have enjoyed the music as well.
I will admit that kind of first song that plays when you first see Kukui, like Professor Kukui, like on the Skype thing, basically, kind of that like African, maybe not African, maybe that's a, I don't know. It's trying to fit with the Hawaiian theme. I really like that theme, and there are a few others that I like as well. I wouldn't agree that it's the overall like best soundtrack ever for Pokemon, but it is very, very strong.
I just think the sound matches the theme really well, and I think that's what really gets me. And the Kahuna, Matt, once you get to the Kahuna battle, that theme is just one of my all-time favorites in the entire game.
Okay, I'll make sure to turn the volume up and get some good headphones in. But moving away from what we've been playing, just because there's not a whole lot more time and I want to talk
Kirby.
About these.
Oh, Kirby, I totally forgot about that. Otherwise, I wouldn't have gone on and on about Pokemon.
Well, I want to hear your thoughts on Kirby for sure, but I think we better move on to these comments. Otherwise, we will not probably get to them. Yes, next week I'll be looking forward to it. In fact, you made me want to buy it now, so I'm just going to, I'm out.
Man,
I'm out.
Yes,
I'm gonna
go. So good. Did you at least try the demo for Kirby Planet Robobot?
I never did. I never downloaded the demo.
Sold me on it.
Well, I will at least have to get that.
And the
sure.
mech is amazing. That's all I'll say for now. I'll talk more next week. But man, this Planet Robobot. So
moving
good.
On to our listener comments. Not really questions, more comments. The first one comes from Cody Hurst, who I quickly want to say, go and check out Cody Hurst on YouTube. He posted a really cool video about how to fix a broken Nintendo 64 controller. The analog stick. You can buy new ones and replace it. And he walks you through the whole process. Really well done video, and he gives really good examples of why to do it and stuff like that. So I would just go and check out that video, and he makes some really high quality stuff, not always Nintendo related or anything, but just a very good YouTube channel to go and check out. But he wrote us a comment. He's written us a couple of emails. We appreciate all of them. Sadly, we don't have time to get to every single one every single time he does it. But
thanks for the happy birthday email, though. I gotta give him a shout out for that. He sent an email, I think, that just said happy birthday, Holly, and that's it. But that was very thoughtful. So thanks, Cody, for that.
He says, I'm really sad they ran out of NES mini NESs. I could have made some cash had I got a few. $500 on eBay, dang, Nintendo done screwed up.
sure.
I'm going to pretend that he says, I'm sad that they ran out of mini NESs. It stinks that so many people are selling them on eBay. Do you think Nintendo messed up by doing this?
Go for it. Sorry.
Just very quickly, I think Nintendo didn't do anything wrong. I want to make this, I've kind of already stated my opinion before on NES minis, NES classic editions, and I'm going to go ahead and kind of say the same thing I've said prior, and I'm going to say it again. It is a plug and play toy that is being made out way too big of a deal. The $60 price tag was fine. I did not personally feel that it ever needed a pre-order. I just sadly think that too many people try to take advantage of nostalgia. I think Nintendo screwed up.
We're talking the scalpers here, right?
Yeah, the scalpers. I think Nintendo messed up for one reason. They should have printed more than they needed, because more than likely they probably could have just kept selling these things. And I know Nintendo's MO is for supply and demand. They want to create enough that they will sell out. Nintendo likes to do that because it gives the false illusion of success. When you sell out of something, you think, wow, must be successful. It doesn't matter if it was like a low product run or not. You just think like must be successful. But this is one of those few times where I think Nintendo would not only benefit from making like an exponentially crazy amount of these NES minis and sending them to like Walmart, because this is one of those types of products that even if it's just sitting on a shelf you know, in for 6 months, eventually someone's going to walk by and want to buy it. You know, it's going to have one of those evergreen effects where people are just going to keep on buying it over and over again. But
Nintendo restocks it, I'm sure that that will be the case. But
not if they do. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like
Nintendo kind of set it up for the scalpers to get in there and be jerks.
It's kind of like
it's just so different than what it used to be, and I think that's a big problem. Is they did set it up like that, but at the same time, it's also the ones that sold it to people that allowed it to happen. But you can't really say like you deserve one and you don't deserve one because you don't really know who is or isn't going to be a scalper.
Right. Yeah. I, with my thoughts on it, I personally think Nintendo just did not learn from the whole Amiibo experience, where you know that again, like you said, the whole supply and demand. And, you know, hopefully moving forward, Nintendo will actually pay attention to kind of like, you know, that whole supply and demand and what's going to sell and what's actually not going to sell. Because, you know, they're still promising, you know, things that they haven't even put out yet, like they said they were. We're still waiting on those, you know, I want to draw too much away from the topic, but, you know, the Amiibos for the Smash Brothers game that haven't, you know, that's been almost a year now. Yeah, they were still promised the last DLC character for that. And then with this NES Classic, that's just another thing they, you know, that's being added on to it. So, you know, if they did not learn from the Amiibos, hopefully they'll just learn from this little NES and just, you know, take notes on what actually, you know, people want and just the supply and demand.
Yeah. So, Nick, we actually have a comment from your dad here as well. And I'm thinking maybe if you read that, it would be about as close to the real thing as we could get, if you'd like.
Yeah, no, sure.
This ties into the same thing, basically. So.
Yep. So, Mike Fulham, my dad, he said that Nintendo dropped the ball again on the release of the NES Classic. The customer service response was, "Sorry, sir, but we didn't know the demand would be so high for the NES Classic." Say what? Everyone was asking for pre-orders. And with that, I sort of agree with him, because it's just, like Matt was saying, the nostalgia and just the people that grew up with it are going to be like, oh, I remember that. I grew up with that. You know, I should get that just for a nostalgic purpose, or just to have the remember as, you know, my childhood and stuff like that. So make my segment short, I totally agree 100% that Nintendo kind of dropped the ball on the whole, you know, we didn't know the demand would be so high. I think they should have realized that the demand would be so high, especially for it being nostalgic purpose wise.
Yeah, I feel like Nintendo right now is kind of riding on people's nostalgia. And so, of course, the NES Classic is going to be really popular. I think it's really, I mean, Nintendo might not have anticipated demand simply because, you know, currently, I mean, where are Nintendo's fans right now? Who out there is going out there and getting all excited about buying a Wii U? Or even, you know, when that console released. So, you know, Nintendo has cause to think that demand for something like this wouldn't be that high. But at the same time, I mean, gosh, it was when Nintendo first tweeted about this thing, the tweet like exploded in popularity. I mean, it was probably one of the, I guess, most liked Nintendo tweets of this entire year, I would say. And again, people were kind of begging for pre-orders and everything like that. Nintendo, you really should have seen this coming. I can't fault them too much. But still.
I don't know.
Thoughts though, Matt? You're the one who's kind of...
I think, yeah, I'm a little bit more decisive, or maybe a little bit more, I don't know, aggressive, or I don't even, sandpaper. I can't think of like... a good analogy or term to use for myself about this, but I just feel like it was blown way too much out of proportion than it really should have been, because it is just a plug and play device. And I hate to say this but it's like the dirty little secret about this whole thing that makes the most sense as to why this should not be successful or meaningful in any way, is just piracy is way too easy. Downloading an emulator and ROMs is just second nature for a lot of people. And I like that people want to go about doing things legally, as we always should. And yes. I do like that it was a cheaper cost alternative to buying these games on a piece of hardware and a plug and play than it would have been on buying it on the Wii U or the 3DS eShop and such. And I like that the game selection was so well done for the NES Mini or the NES Classic. It's actually not called the NES Mini at all. We just all like to call it that because
right.
how small this thing yeah. is.
It's the Nintendo Entertainment System NES Classic Edition.
Yeah, that's way too much of a mouthful. NES Mini, you win. but at the same time, like, I don't know. For me personally, my biggest issue and quorum with this whole thing is just, it's just way too much selling on nostalgia. And it shows, I think, a certain aspect of what people want, but they don't want. This thing sells crazy. Obviously, I don't know if Nintendo's ever going to release actual numbers for it, because that would actually let us know how many they release into the wild. You know, for like a, for basic understanding or an idea of this, like if they release, you know, 1.5 million Wii U's and it sells out, it's like, wow, that's pretty good, as they did originally. You know, as a very good, you know, a start to the launch and everything like that. But if there was only like 500,000 NES minis that they released for sale throughout all 50 states, like, that's not all that impressive, and it's not all that good. You know, it's them, like I said, trying to create that supply and trying to create that demand for it. I don't know, like, my biggest thing, once again, is just, it's just a plug-and-play device. I really did want one for my basement, for my kids. I thought it'd be kind of something fun to kind of have. Now that I didn't get one, I'm in no hurry to try and find one or buy one. If I found it in the wild, there's a chance that I would probably try to buy it, just because I feel like maybe I have to, whatever the case may be.
If you find it for 60, buy it. If to, you know, to sell it to somebody else for a decent price, if nothing else.
I would
decent
never price, do as that. In, you know, I could not do
the
that.
Normal price. It'd I be couldn't. A good favor to a friend.
Yeah, but if I buy it, I definitely will keep it. I mean, it's mine. I went through the effort. I fought off that grandma, not that person.
that grandma. But, there were some grandma looking people in the line at my GameStop for this thing. So
I don't doubt it.
It is in pretty high demand.
I just feel like, I hate to say it, but this is like one time that I kind of just feel like the fans, in a way, they're the ones that messed up. I don't know. Like, I really don't like, I don't mean that in like the fans are doing a poor job of like wanting something exciting or something cool in what this whole thing is. But like, it is just a plug. I don't know, to me, and it's hard for me to, I guess, fully express this without just saying like, this is literally my thought. Like, it's a plug and play device that just is not that impressive. It's cool. It's neat. But everybody's already done it, and it's not that it's like really anything different. It's other than the fact that it is Nintendo. It is made by Nintendo, and that's an important thing. I'm not saying it's not. I don't know. Maybe they should have done pre-orders. You know, looking back at it, it wouldn't have been a crazy idea if they would have done it. I'm not surprised they didn't, is my only thing about it. But I think we'll see in a month to 2 months, depending on how their stock refills go, when they, you know, when they give more to GameStop and more to Walmart, and how many they do, because this whole bubble with the scalpers right now is all inflated because of the lack of the amount that people were able to buy on launch day. But if we see these things just like go crazy, like, you're going to find these on eBay for $20 here pretty soon. You know, it's hard to really weigh that yet. We don't know. I mean, as I showed pictures, I mean, Holly's never heard of a play and plug system before I told her about
these
things.
Funny enough, I've actually started to see them on the shelves at Walmart now.
Because they exist, you just never notice them.
I just always imagine them to be in tiny little boxes or packaging, and a lot of them are in big old boxes, and I'm like, whoa.
It's funny. Have you seen these before?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. In fact, you know, it's funny because they're, you know, I was working yesterday, and this woman pointed out that Sega's releasing their own portable console, which is the same thing as the NES, and so it's exactly what you're saying. It's just a plug and play. It's been done before, so I personally didn't see much hype about it. It would have been cool to have just as a nostalgia purpose, but you're hitting the hammer right in the nail. It's just a small little plug and play that's been done several times before.
And Sega themselves have released multiple plug-and-plays. I mean, the Intellivision has remade their entire legacy from being a plug-and-play system. The Atari has redone the memories of the system in general, of being like this very like, oh yeah, remember we used to like that thing that didn't have any good graphics or video games that anyone could really play well?
And it's, you know, coming... Like,
Oh no, you're fine. I'm just saying, it's all nostalgia-driven.
Yeah, and it's coming to the point where, like, you know, with the Atari, like you said, they're putting them in their newer games, and the Activision's putting in their newer games. So I'm sure Nintendo eventually is going to do the same thing, where they just put their classics to play free in whatever new generation games they play as well. So,
yeah, I don't know. I don't want to sound like I'm complaining about this purely, because I do like the idea of Nintendo releasing hardware for this very simple, basic reason. But like, I don't want to see them try to like release like the Game Boy Classic or something, where a Game Boy for $50 and it comes with 30 games and people go crazy for it because it's a backlit Game Boy screen or something. I don't know.
If they did that with the Advance, I would be all over it. But
I mean, if they did it with
the Advance SP,
yeah.
There's all sorts of cool things that each one of us wants, driven by our own nostalgia, for the things that we remember more than something else. I don't know.
That SP.
It's exciting stuff.
Well, I just real quick, I mean, Mike actually kind of made a kind of a supplementary thing that I should have put here on the notes, but he mentions, like, you know, what does this kind of foretell as far as the Switch goes? And I mean, obviously we've talked about how this is just a plug and play. The Switch is going to be, you know, a brand new, you know, high-end console kind of thing. So it's completely different. But Nintendo's business practice, is that going to stay the same? Is Nintendo going to do the exact same supply and demand ploy with the Switch?
Yes. Remember, they did this exact same thing with the Wii U as well. Like, everything is driven by supply and demand. They did it with
the
Wii.
Didn't work very well with the Wii U.
Here's the thing, is it did for the first batch. The second batch, because the system was just not going to be this, like, super high-selling console, as it turned out, it wasn't. But the first batch that they released, they did have a sellout, right? And everyone was like, oh, yeah, it's going to be okay. The second batch, not so much, because the people that wanted it bought it, and then not many other people wanted it. You know, the Wii was successful because they did it so well that it made people basically, like, start wondering, like, am I going to be able to get one? Like, people bought it only for the reason, because it was a cheap enough system to do it for a lot of people. They bought it thinking, like, I don't know if I'll ever see another one of these in the wild, and they just bought it. That was never the case with the Wii U, and it never felt that way either. But then you look over at the PS4, the PS4 was a crazy monster of a selling system, and Sony did the exact opposite. Sony just kept releasing them as quickly as they could make them, and they never had a supply problem with it, you know? But I do feel like Nintendo, because if you go all the way back to the NES, that's what they do. They create supply and demand, and they try to you know, fake it as much as possible so that it can be an exciting purchase.
Hmm.
So
can't
I
say that
them
makes me very happy, but especially when we're looking forward to the Switch release. But we'll
I think
see.
There'll be plenty
Maybe
for
I'll get
pre-order
lucky
though.
Again,
I think.
Yeah,
I mean,
if Nintendo doesn't at least put it up for pre-order, that's insanity.
Yeah, I think that this is nothing to actually go off of what the Switch release or anything like that's going to be like, because it is a completely separate piece of hardware that means very little to Nintendo overall. Let's be honest; it's a $60 piece of hardware that they make a little bit of money on, but they're not. They're not going to the bank with this money from the NES Classic. But that's about all that I have on the NES Classic, unless either one of you have anything else to say?
No, I'm all set.
Well, I actually, just going back to recent swag, I forgot a couple of recent swags. I got, talking about Cody Hurst's, like, N64 controller repair video, I actually got an N64 controller, so, yeah, my last bit of recent swag.
It's never too late to talk about old stuff.
Yeah, so now I have three controllers. That's good. I actually one last thing I want to say is that Mike and Nick as well, are very active on this Facebook group called Nintendoholics. Mike is actually an admin on there, and it is one of the best Facebook groups you can be a part of. There's only a few hundred people there, but the people who are there are just crazy Nintendo fanatics. Whatever, like, niche Nintendo thing that you like, you will find another fan of that on this group, I feel like. So search Nintendoholics on Facebook and ask for, what would you call it?
An invite or acceptance?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Acceptance.
Into the group, yeah.
The only
so,
because
it's awesome.
You put your favorite Nintendo franchise into your plea to us, though.
What is your favorite game?
Exactly.
And if it's
not
niche,
enough, yeah, we won't accept you.
Because we only take niche.
We
fans.
Only talk about the things that aren't cool for everybody else.
Right.
Oh.
But yeah. Well, thank you
Great
guys so
group,
much for
though.
Joining me.
It.
Thank you so much for joining me today and talking about Nintendo geeky stuff. Thank you, all of you listeners. We appreciate it so much, obviously, to have you on board for the adventures that me and Holly go on, trying to grab other people to join us as well. If you want to hit me up on Twitter, please find me at OnlyMattDozen. You can find the official Nintendo Fever account at Nintendo Fever. You can find Holly on Twitter at
Holly Felmuth.
You can also write us an email if you are so inclined to do so, because Cody, he loves to do it. So please join Cody in his email writing that he likes to do so much at podcast@nintendofever.com. And then, Nick, how can people reach you if you want them to reach you?
Yeah. So, you know, I don't really have much of a – I have my personal account on Twitter, so at Ginger Tactician. You know, that's my personal account. So if there's anyone else that wants to reach me, they can reach me there.
All right. Ginger Tactician?
Ginger Tactician, yep.
All right. Sounds like a plan. So everyone go and hit him up and tell him that he's cool. Cool guy.
Cool. Tell me I'm wrong.
He loves Pokemon and Fire Emblem, said.
Can't sounds get like over a good Fire time. Emblem. Yeah.
Well, I think that's about it. So until next time, people of the internet and such, thank you so much for joining us, and we will see you next time. Bye.
See ya.